You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We have the co-directors of the Dunedin Writers and Readers Festival in here, ready to talk about how the festival is going to look, all the ins and outs, how it's organised, and the inspiration for the direction. We have Jen Stokes and Kitty Brown in here for a kororo. Good morning to you, Jen and Kitty. How are we doing?
Morena, Zach, and morena, all of the Radio 1 listeners. I'm doing really well. How are you doing, Kitty?
Yeah, kia ora koutou. I'm well too. It's a very exciting week for us, so we're a bit like deer in the headlights / with kind of preparing for a party girl kind of vibes.
Totally, party girl vibes.
Yeah. So quite like kind of manic, terrified energy.
Yeah. We're just wondering if we've forgotten anything as the general.
I think we've got authors coming.
Yeah.
We've got a venue,
and
we've advertised it, so I think hopefully we're all good.
Mm-hmm. Mean. I want to start off this kororo by talking about the amount of writers and readers festivals around the country. Hawke's Bay, the Far North, Whanganui, Auckland, Queenstown, and Otebote all have their own. Then there's also the Young Writers Fest, which comes to town. The Going West Writers Fest. Why does New Zealand have so many different writers festivals?
Because we have such amazing writers and poets and wordsmiths, and I think we have a lot of amazing ideas and thoughts about the world, and we're in quite a unique area of the world as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder that too myself, Zach. I think there's about 22 festivals, like literature festivals in Aotearoa, so I'm unsure, but what I do know is that the landscape and the environment of publishing in Aotearoa is actually really healthy and vibrant at the moment. So I think the amount of people celebrating that in festivals is a sign of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How does the Dunedin Readers and Writers Festival separate itself from all the other ones going around the place?
Yeah, a couple of things really. We always work with a theme, so we always kind of centre ourselves on a particular idea. This year it's Ahikā, so we're thinking about keeping the home fires burning.
Mm. And with that we just have an amazing lineup of local Otepoti authors and poets, and really just celebrating the amazing talent that we have here. In Otepoti.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I saw in the staff photos on the festival page, you're all smiling, holding different books. Kitty, you're holding Uprising by Nick Lowe, and Jen, you're holding I Who Have Never Been by Jacqueline Hartman. I want to know, why are these books significant to you? Starting with you, Kitty.
Uprising by Nick Lowe is a pukapuka that's just so dear to my heart, because with Nick's writing, I feel like he's writing it actually for me. As a kaitahu person, he really writes so deeply about the experience of kaitahu people, and our stories, our histories woven into his own story, just so captivating to me. He writes about one story in Uprising where our people are hiding from the pauakai, the harsh giant eagle. It's extinct now, thank goodness. Monstrous bird. And they had these very specially woven korowai kākahu that they would have a tussock sort of sticking up on their back like a ninja turtle sort of shell, and they'd run a little way and then go flat if they saw the shadow of the pōākai coming around or they heard the noise of him chasing them. So there's a story from Uprising, and it just completely captivates my imagination, and makes me so proud of our history.
Nice. And Eugene?
Yes, so the book I Who Have Never Known Men, I finished reading it and I just thought, what was that book? It's this sort of, it's at once terrifying but lovely. It's a book about relationships, it's dystopian, it's sci-fi, but it's just, I can't even describe it. And I just finished that book and I thought, that is something, it's a relatively short book as well, so it's something
love
that
a short
is,
book.
Yeah, no, exactly, yeah. You feel really accomplished, don't you? It's one that I think I would just go back to and read over and over again, and you'd get something completely different from it each time. So I really recommend it. It was just, it was not what I was expecting at all, and just a surprise and a joy.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting. Now, you're both the co-directors, as I've mentioned before. Who's left brain and who's right brain when it comes to this?
I feel like we've got a pretty good partnership, don't we?
Yeah, both do. We both have both brains working simultaneously, yep. Which is amazing.
Both hemispheres.
Yeah, we're both very focused on details and very organised people. But we also both have a real creative bent. So
yeah,
we bring all of that.
And I think that the stuff that I'm not great at, Kitty's great at, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a recipe for success, isn't it? That playing to your strengths.
Yeah.
Situation.
And just knowing when you're like, this is not my thing, I'm not good at this, and knowing that there's somebody to back you up that is good at that kind of thing is very reassuring. I think just makes for a festival that feels hopefully well organised and calm and lets people relax into it.
And now we've got a third offsider as well, yes. Vanessa Beck, who's an old time friend and collaborator with us, and what she says about us is that we're horrendously honest to each other, so we don't pull any punches, and sometimes that can feel awkward for people around us to hear us just being so honest with each other, but it works for us.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah, it does. I think it works well, and we're just like, oh yeah, cool, yeah, no, I didn't do that thing well, or
no offence.
No offence. Yeah, yeah.
You really dropped the ball on that one. So you mentioned there's the theme of ahi-ka, that is sort of the dominating idea of this year's festival. And ahi-ka, from my sort of remembering from Māori studies, is the idea of the long burning fire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that is when you occupy an area, you begin to develop sort of ties to that area through your occupation, and there becomes a really beautiful reciprocal relationship there. How do you think that sort of manifests in terms of the lineup we've got? I see we've got Tami Iti and Grant Robertson releasing their autobiographies.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming to have a korero. Are they kind of intentionally there for the theme of ahi-ka?
Yeah, I think with ahi-ka, one of the things that we looked at was knowledge holders. To have those knowledge holders around our fire is a really important part of our festival.
Mm-hmm.
Another part of ahi-ka is about your responsibility to your community, and if you're keeping that fire burning, what is it that you're providing to the community to nourish them? And so we wanted to make sure that we were hitting points on the program that spoke to people, resonated with our community. We've got a little thing on there about climate change. We've got plenty of poetry as a balm for the soul. We were definitely thinking about how hard times are for people and how we could bring some joy but also some new ideas to the table for people.
Yeah, it was really, we wanted to centre our local people, really. That was kind of the initial idea around ahi-ka. And then Kitty described this really nicely. We're bringing in just a couple of just little bright sparks around the place as well to uplift and support the kaupapa as well. So, yeah.
Ming. Awesome. What are some real highlights from this year's festival that you're quite looking forward to? I know you can't really necessarily pick favourites, but what are some things you're quite looking forward to going to
see? We knew you'd ask this question, and we thought we better have a quick look over this programme and try and pick some, because people always want to know, don't they?
Yeah. My favourite child of this programme is Kaituna Kids, which is going to be held at Te Whata o Kaituna in South Dunedin at the new library.
Oh my God, awesome. Sick.
Yeah, so we are lucky enough to get some funding from the Matatuhi Foundation to look after the event, and we're bringing, so exciting, Sasha Cotter and Josh Morgan from Dazzle Hands fame, and also they've just released a new book called The Guide to Rocks. So these people are, excellent storytellers. They perform their stories, they dress up, they bring props, and so we're looking forward to some great performances down at the library. And we've also got from the university geology department some whānau coming down to bring some rocks and talk to kids about rocks. So the
but
guide to rocks.
As well.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Bring your rocks down and we can all discuss them on Saturday.
Lovely.
And my favourite child is I wanted to talk about our hub space. So this year we are in the Dunedin Centre, which is around the Glenroy Auditorium. And throughout all of these spaces, we have foyer spaces that have just a bunch of free things to do. So we'll have zines and crafts and puzzles.
Bookbinding.
Nice. On Sunday. Nice. There will be
like peer review sessions.
And we've also got like a low sensory space. So if people just get a bit overwhelmed with the crowds, you can come chill out, pick up a book. We've got like knitting and poetry sprinkled all about the place. We have a mini bookshop with a cafe. We're really just trying to create a space that people can come and stay for the whole weekend.
Yeah,
in between
and we've
sessions.
Got free events too. So you could potentially come to this festival completely for free because we've got all that lovely stuff happening in the spaces and we have programmed events that are free too.
Awesome. I think something that's really exciting is Karen McMillan's talk at Larnet Castle.
Yeah.
It seems very on point for the book that she's doing. It feels like, very, very well thought out thing. Would you say that in a world where people are consuming more and more AI-generated media, whether they want to or not, that a festival that celebrates the rich tapestry of New Zealand literature and the ahikaroa that fuels it, do you think that's more important now than ever?
Yeah, AI is an interesting one. I think it's one of those things where it's not going to go away. So there's an element of embracing aspects of it, but then there's also a lot of really horrible stuff about it.
I think it's time for everyone to turn away from the internet and the social media and turn towards a book.
And the book festivals.
And the
book festivals. For which you can find tickets at Ticketmaster, right?
Ticketmaster, yep.
Yeah, and our website, which is dunedinwritersfest.co.nz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your chats this morning. Do you have any final words for our lovely listeners?
We can't wait to see you this weekend.
Yeah, ka mihi ki a koutou katoa.
Fantastic stuff. I'm really looking forward to having, Duncan Sarkis and Karen McMillan's coming on the show this week.
Yeah. Cool.
Daniel Baban.
Yeah.
It should be very, very exciting.
Awesome.
Should be cool. And it's also coinciding with Lines of Flight, the experimental music festival. It's great stuff.
Yep.
Anyway, thank you both for your time. I really appreciate it.
Kia ora.
Ka kite.
Kia ora. Folks, that was Jen Stokes and Kitty Brown, the co-directors from the Dunedin Writers and Readers Festival, coming through to talk about the festival's kaupapa and its program coming up at 10:40.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.